Hey there, this is Julie from Blended Life. Thank you for taking the time to download this episode of our podcast. I hope you find value in it. The truth is, though, sometimes you need more than a podcast can offer to get unstuck and find peace in your blended family life. The struggle is real. So this is a personal journey I've been on for years, seeking peace in circumstances and with people I can't control. Becoming Heard was born out of this quest. As a certified life and health coach, I am passionate about helping others just like you and me free themselves from chronic upset and chronic crisis mode. Right now, I'm offering Blended Life listeners a one-on-one free breakthrough session with me. This call will give you clarity to see if coaching is right for you. Take advantage of this opportunity now by emailing me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I can't wait to connect with you. Hey everyone, welcome to Blended Life. Today I'm so honored to have Lori Short with me. She is going to be talking about grace-filled step-parenting. She is the author of that book, and if you know me, you know that that book is in my life and in my coaching practice on a daily basis. She is a public speaker and an author of other faith-based books, so you will want to be encouraged. You are going to want to listen to the whole thing. Hang on, buckle up, here we go. Hey everyone, welcome back to Blended Life. As you guys know, I'm honored and blessed to be joined by Lori Short. She is the author of Grace-Filled Step-Parenting, along with so many other books. She is a professional speaker, speaking the Lord over women and families and just everyone that she can. We are so, so honored to have you here, Lori. Thank you and welcome.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here, Julie, because I love you and I love Eric, and we're just family friends, and so this feels really personal as well as a lovely surprise to be able to be together in studio.
I know. I remember when, because you reached out over your book, right. Grace-Filled Step-Parenting, which I'm going to hold it up for those watching. If you're a client of mine in my life coaching business, you guys get this book when you work with me. If you're in a blended family at all, this is part of the deal. You work with me, you get this book because it's that important. It's that amazing. And I guess let's just start there. What led you to write Grace-Filled Step-Parenting? Like, you've written so many other books that have nothing to do with blended anything.
That's right. My genre, I guess, would be faith books, because as you know, if you've seen me on Instagram, that is definitely a passion for me, is helping people find God in their life, really. And so it was very strange when all of a sudden I felt called to write this book, and it was during COVID. And of course, all of us were shut down, and those of us in blended families found it even more challenging during that time, like everything else. And I just felt that I needed to write this book for that step parent that was out there trying to do it the best they could. Mm. And how, you know, just some helpful tools that I've learned through some of my other books about your perspective on situations, about the support, about the things that had worked and not worked in our situation as Jordan was getting older. And I just felt like I need to write this book. And it's been so exciting to see how it has reached such a different audience than I normally reach. However, every time I speak, there is always a handful of people that come up to the table and think, I need that book. That book is the one. And that is why I wrote it. It was really like a love letter to other step-parents who want to see what they're doing as a calling, because I believe what you're doing is so important. No matter what you're being told or how you're being treated or whatever your situation is, you are making a difference in a child's life. And I believe that wholeheartedly.
I mean, hallelujah, amen. All of that. I feel like we should break out into a worship song right now.
I know.
But what you said that really like struck me, and that I think you can speak into our fellow step parents listening or watching, is this idea of step parenthood being a calling. I would say maybe 1 or 0.01% of step parents actually can attach themselves to that belief. So when you say that, can you explain to us all like what you mean by that, it being a calling, and what that perspective would actually look like for step parents who are?
Yeah, I mean, I think that whether you come into a marriage with the full knowledge that this is what you're taking on and you're doing it very intentionally and deliberately, or you have no idea and aren't thinking about it at all, and you have your eyes focused on the person you're going to be with, and you think, I can deal with anything because I love him or her. You are called because you are there. You are the one that is going to make the biggest influence in that child's life next to the biological parent. You are going to be more present in their life. You are going to be with the biological parent of that child. And it is an opportunity that I think a lot of step parents don't feel because they're so focused on the negative aspect. I mean, I think we were given a rotten deal from the fairy tales. I mean, it all began then with the wicked stepmother. And, you know, I mean, you never hear about the wonderful stepmother or, you know, and yet in so many cases, it's the step parent really that makes a huge difference in the child's life and the way the child turns out. And I don't think it needs to be a belligerent relationship, although I know it's a loaded relationship with the biological parent. But as far as it depends on you, there's a verse that says, live at peace with everyone as far as it depends on you. And I know sometimes that can be a challenge, but to work toward that and then just focus on the part you are playing and not all the other stuff. And that really is a daily, if not hourly, struggle, which is why I love what you're doing, Julie, because you are helping and coaching people on a daily basis through this calling in their life. So I do believe it's a calling. I know it doesn't feel that way a lot of times. You're not feeling appreciated maybe, but you are making a difference in a child's life.
Yeah, and yes, because I think step-parents get very stuck on the title, and they get very stuck on trying to find equality with the bio-parent, and it's a fruitless cause. And what a missed opportunity as well. I mean, I always think of it like I was reading in the Bible in 1 Corinthians this morning about the body of Christ and how, you know, every part plays an important role, right? We don't say, if the body was an entire eye, that would be very weird.
Right.
So I'm like, how can we apply that principle to our blended families and understand that every person in our blended family has a part to play?
That's right.
And the biological parents already, I mean, you don't have three hands.
I know.
And so can we just stop trying to be the third hand and let the parents be the hands or whatever part? And then we could be the ears when there are none, or the eyes when the bio parents are too close to see. Is picking up what I'm putting down?
Yes,
like, is that
completely exactly? It's not what you're not; it's what you are.
Yes,
and that perspective helps you so much in step parenting. And every situation is different. There are some step parents that are full time. There are some that are part time. There are some that only have a little tiny part to play. But whatever time you spend with that child, however old they are and however they're responding to you, you have an opportunity. If you can gather up your support from another place other than needing it from the child, because there will be seasons where you will not get it from the child because it is natural for them to be loyal to their biological parent. That is inbred in us. We can do nothing about that. Mm-hmm. And so knowing that, you walk in not to be in competition with that person, but to be in addition to that person. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've always tried to be, is not a replacement, but an add-on. And then I can focus on just being the greatest add-on that I can be.
Yeah.
And that can be a challenge sometimes. There are definitely seasons where that is a challenge. Mm. And so much of it has to do with the age of the child. And I always say, Julie, that the child will grow up someday. And I am now living that reality as my child is now 20 and sees so much more now than he did when he was little. And I think that's just going to continue. It continues in all of our lives.
Yep.
You know, just to speak from personal experience, my dad married someone who was 3 years older than me. And I was 22 at the time, and she was 25, and my dad was 45. And it was an absolute nightmare for me. It was so hard. And yet now she is such a gift to my life, to our life. Our family is different. We're a blended family because there were more children brought in. But I will tell you that as she cares for my aging father, she is such a beautiful person to me and one of my closest friends. And just watching that in my own life and the shift that has taken place as I've gotten older and seen her differently, I know that that is the case in every situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to let time do what time does, and time reveals
so much.
Time reveals. And I had a really hard time with my own step parents, and it's been interesting because even if I didn't like a step parent, now that I am one, there's so much grace.
Oh yeah.
I'm
totally.
Like, it doesn't mean that I don't agree with everything. I just understand. And
that's,
I have
right.
a newfound gratitude and the blessing about time, that I the encouragement that time does bring. And you and I talked about this very briefly beforehand, but, and I'm seeing it with our older kids. I have a stepdaughter who just turned 21, and I have my stepson who's about to turn 17.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then my children are 18, my goodness, and 13. And as they get older, what I am seeing, though, is that all the kids are really gaining an understanding about who all of us are. Who I am, who their stepdad, their stepmom, like they're, and we're not having to wear a sandwich board and ring a bell about it.
Yeah, that's right. As you get older, the role you play becomes less important, and the person you are,
amen,
begins
sister.
To come out of the role. And that is what every adult sees about their whole family, blended
yep.
or not. That's how you begin to navigate relationships in a new way, because you suddenly see these people who played the roles in your life as people. And then you look at them differently because you're seeing so much more dimension to them.
That's right.
Than you did before. And then you'll look back and see things differently as well. So, you know, time is in your favor if you just keep walking this road mm-hmm. the best way you can and don't give up. Because what you can control is you. That is the only thing you can control. And it is really hard sometimes not
yeah.
to say what you want to say, or to hold back, or to not do something that you are really wanting to do. I mean, there's just so many situations like that as you are raising kids. Mm-hmm. But trust me, you will be so grateful for every time that you chose to do the right thing for representing who you really are.
Yeah. Oh, so good. One of my favorite things that you say and encourages my soul on a daily basis, like I'm always like, this is Lori said this. So Lori said, but your story isn't over yet.
That's right.
I tell that to everyone now. I quote that to everyone. I'm like, your story isn't over yet, because we do give up too soon. And I get it. I mean, Eric and I, probably we could count on 20 hands how many times we wanted to give up.
Oh,
like, this
totally.
Is too hard. I'm
yeah.
done. Like, I don't,
yeah.
this is not what I signed up for.
Yeah.
Every step parent has said that.
Every
this is not
one.
What I signed
you know,
up
not
for.
Not only every step parent, really, Julie. I just spoke at a conference, and I, of course, say that to everyone, because I think
yeah.
we think we're at the end when we're in the middle of the story, because we're at the end. We're just done with this, whatever
yep.
it is. And I'm telling you, the days are long, but the years are short. And even for a step parent, you will one day look back and go, wow, that went so much faster than when I was living it. You know?
And we're, in the meantime, we're all praying it away. Yes, we're like,
exactly.
It's like a deadhood. We're like, pray this time away. And then you're like, oh, those were precious years.
Right. I know. It's so weird. That's so much how life is. But, you know, I know in some situations it's really, really hard. And a lot of step-parents, blended family couples move into a much different season when the kids are grown and gone. You definitely do. We're mourning a little bit in our household because he actually lived with us, so all of a sudden we feel like, oh my gosh, we're empty nesters. We didn't really feel it.
Give a shout out to Jordan. Tell us what he's doing. Okay. Are you allowed to tell us?
Oh, yes. Oh, gosh. Jordan went to City College for 2 years and was kind of, you know, he just wasn't a college guy. Got in to a great university, but just was like, it's just not what I want. Mm. So we just watched while he kind of figured things out. And lo and behold, he walks himself into the Marine Corps office and the Army office.
Wow.
And we were like, what? Okay. And he was offered all kinds of things from the Army. And then the Marines just said, you get to be a Marine. And he was like, I'm in. And he signed on to be a Marine 8 months before he went into the Marine Corps, which for me says this is a very intentional decision on this person's part. I mean, he wanted this. Mm-hmm. And once a week, he would go down and train with them. And his reason for doing it is because he wanted to do something for someone bigger than himself. And so he wanted to serve this country.
I wonder where he got that from.
Well, and, you know, he had been you know, on the worship team at our church, and he had been working with junior high kids, so he had been mentoring kids. We were so proud of him. But this is just an amazing new chapter. So he finished boot camp this summer. Mm-hmm. He's now in the School of Infantry, and he's going into intel. So he's going to be kind of more behind the screens as far as, you know, getting intelligence and stuff. And he qualified for that because he got such a high score. So he's just flourishing. He loves it.
Amazing.
And it was really fun to be with him and just see this in his life. Yeah. I mean, it's just been incredible.
Yeah. Quick question. Does it get easier being around everyone? Because I remember we just finished graduation for my son.
Yeah.
And personally, I mean, I'll speak to my experience and then maybe you could speak life into it. You don't have to share your own, but you know, my ex and I haven't done a great job co-parenting, mm-hmm. and I won't go into the nuances of that, but it's sad because my kids hate, like, their skin, you can see their skin crawling.
Uh-oh.
You know, if we're all present in the same place in the same room, they are so uncomfortable. They want to die 1,000 deaths and get out of the situation as quickly as possible, which is really, really sad.
Yeah.
I don't love that for them. It's actually really heartbreaking, and I wish it could be different for them, but it is, I guess, what it is at this point. But I think about, like, college graduation's going to come up for my son. He's at UC Davis, and weddings are going to come up, and I'm sure, like, hopefully someone has a child along the way. I'd love that someday, far from now. But I don't know, speaking into that, like, does it get easier, or does God just change hearts and hopefully we all mature into better people? What can you speak into that?
Yeah, I mean, I probably could speak into that more as an adult in a step, like as the child.
The child.
Adult child
in
a step family or a blended family, in that it changes and grows all the time. It's so crazy with a blended family because I'm just noticing my family changing because I have two brothers that are full and I have two half-sisters and a stepsister and all from the second marriage. And so, but we have more and more a sense of family. And I do think way down the road it does get easier. But it so depends on the situation. And I think I go back to what I said, all you can control is you and your responses and also communicating with your child and what do you need? What do you wish for? What can I do that would make this any less awkward or better for you? I've certainly had those conversations for sure with Jordan. And you know, we've had a different situation because it's been so separate in terms of our parenting, and he's primarily lived with us and spent summers there. So it was a different situation in that I wasn't crossing paths all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that that can be very awkward and hard for the child.
So hard for the kids.
Really yeah. hard. And that is the biggest thing to keep in mind, because I think your feelings will be involved as well. But to keep your focus on the child and really trying to pay attention, like, what do you need? What could I do? You know, because in some cases you can't do anything. You just have to let it lie and let it be. And let everybody be mature in the situation as much as possible. But you, again, can't control, even in families, you can't control other people and their decisions. And that is really hard.
It's extremely hard. Yeah. I'm curious. So you've had these conversations with Jordan, kind of giving him an opportunity to share what he needs. Yeah. First of all, teasing the last chapter of Gracefield,
yes.
that parenting, that's yeah. Jordan's chapter. He wrote.
That's right. Yeah.
So you guys are just going to have to pick up the book, buy it, and read it, because you do get the stepchild's perspective
yeah,
at the
it.
End.
It's raw. It's raw. I mean, you get it when he's a teenager, a snarky teenager kind of going, yeah, I don't know about you at all. Like, even things I'd reminisce about, you know, when he was a child. He's like, yeah, you were a parent figure. Anyway, you know, but I wrote a little bit at the beginning just saying, you know, I'm so grateful that you were in my life. And mm-hmm. I trusted that the relationship would continue, that yeah. he would know who I am, that he would know that I always loved him, and that I also understand, I mean, I was a youth pastor. I understand that phase of life, that's teenage years. And those of you who are walking through it, whether they're biological or stepkids, God bless you. Yeah. That is a very, very hard time as a parent. Because you're beginning to let go, and they're beginning to let go of you. But I always say, you know, the best people that you can bring around your child is really the thing that's going to make the difference in their life at that point. And that they have other people that they can talk to. That's been huge in our situation. But, you know, that last chapter, I was like, God, really? Is that the timing for this book? I mean, could it have been when he was little and just so adoring, or later when he's an adult and really understanding everything? But I think that that chapter really speaks to step-parents because, you know, you might think we have the ideal situation if you read some of the other parts of the book, because I try to encourage the good that can happen in that relationship. But I wanted the step-parent to know that it's a challenge for everybody. You're walking into a situation that the child wishes wasn't there.
Mm.
And then you're trying to make it good. And that... I mean, you've got a lot of strikes against you before you open your mouth or do a thing, anything. And so to try to navigate that path, you know, at the beginning, I give that illustration of the pool, mm-hmm. you know, if the child's little, you know, if you came into the situation, the child's little, they're like, well, come over, yay, come in the pool. And of course, your spouse is going, get in the pool. And, you know, and if they're teenagers or above, they have their back turn towards you, like, you better not get in this pool, you know, and you have to decide, how am I going to navigate this situation? And so your relationship with your spouse is huge. We've talked about this, you know, keeping the communication open and finding a support system outside of your step family. You've yeah. got to find that.
Yeah. Going back to you asking Jordan what, if anything, you could do. No, this is, I'm curious. Was he ever able to articulate what he needed from you or dad or anyone in that situation to feel better?
You know, it's surprising how much the child doesn't really know or want. I think the biggest thing they don't want to do is manage one of their parents, step or otherwise, step or biological. It's like, the responsibility of having to manage them is really hard on a child. Like, I'm worried what's going to happen. Oh, my gosh. So, you know, even the comfort of saying, I just want you to know I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm not going to push myself into, you know, whatever situation. Mm-hmm. I'm just there because I love you and I want to support you. But this is about you. This day is about you. And I just want you to be as comfortable as possible in an uncomfortable situation. So I can assure you that I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z. So maybe the child knowing that going in, I know at one point we were going to be in a situation that didn't end up happening, and he counseled me a little bit and then what not to do. And I was like, absolutely, I won't do that. You know,
is there something that stuck out? Like, specifically?
Well, I mean, I tend to be very, as you know, Julie, I'm like a big hugger and like, everybody, hi, you know, yeah. And we're all good and love and, you know, and sometimes that's not the appropriate way to walk into a situation.
My therapist once told me, you can't hug a porcupine.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I mean, you know.
It just stuck with me. I'm
and,
like, oh.
And also, it's. I mean, to kind of turn it around, you want to make sure that a hug is communicating something good. Like, if a hug feels not good to the person, you know, then that's not really, I mean, then you're doing it out of your own need. And so there's a way that I think you can say, you know what, I get it. I'm going to honor this situation. There are so many times when you have to possibly do something that's not what you feel or what you would normally do in these situations because you're trying to be fragile to an honoring of the child. And not in every case will they even know what they need. I mean, I could see in some cases when they're younger, they don't even know. They just feel stressed, but they don't even know why.
And they
don't
know what they're doing. Big feelings.
Yes, of course they do. Of course they do. I mean, they didn't ask for this situation. They're just in it. You know, no child made the choice for the situation they're in. And that's something to remember every time you're walking into a place where people are wounded and they're not wearing Band-Aids, so you don't see that. But you have to know that going in. They're not at full, you know, they're not at their full best in a blended family. They're having to be in situations that they don't want to if they were given the choice. So that's just something to remember. But, you know, there's so much you can do. And I learned this, I think, from being a youth pastor, just because I realized that there are people that have huge impacts on other people that aren't a parent. That you can walk into a situation and really, by way of mentorship, by way of friendship, by way of all these other ways, you can be a very significant adult in that child's life. And sometimes those people even have a bigger influence on people than the parents. So that's where you kind of go, I'm going to take my clue from that. Like, I don't even have to push my way in my role here. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be an added adult that can work for the good of this child as much as possible.
Yeah, and, so good.
You know, but again, you need the constant support because I can sit here in a studio and talk about this, but I know what it's like in the field.
Yeah, you know, you have done field study.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, it's a little bit like going to church and going, okay, yeah, and then you walk out and you're like, my life, oh no, where are you?
So,
yeah.
Well, I want to talk a little bit. I want to give our audience a peek into your story becoming a stepmom, if you're willing to share part of that. How did you become a stepmom, Lori?
Well, like everybody else, I married a man with a child, and I also married a man with stepchildren. So our situation is very unique in that, you know, I have no biological children, but I've gotten to be sort of a mother figure in a lot of different relationships, which has been such joy. And, of course, they've gone through a million stages because you know, as you can imagine, there's just lots of tension possibility and all of that. But because I had had such significant relationships with kids as a youth pastor and saw even volunteers that I would get on my staff who had really huge impacts on some of these kids' lives, I felt like, you know, I'm walking into this with full understanding. You know, I was past the biological age of trying to have a child, though some people were like, well, maybe you'll be like Abraham and Sarah.
How old was everyone? Like,
I was 49 when I married. So I was already, you know, and really honestly, Jerry and I talked about, I mean, he would have had to reverse some things. And I mean, it would have been a lot of work, even, I mean, because I know there are women that have had babies, you know, yes, really late in life. But the amount of work it would have taken, and B, I think every mother doesn't think about the child at 18. You think about the baby and you're like, I want a baby, but you don't think about how old am I going to be when this child is 18, and do we really want to do this for 18 years? Oh my goodness, look how old we'll be, even if it happens in the first 2 years, you know. And we also have this child who's six when we married, and this child needs a lot as far as just navigating his life. And it turned out to be the right situation. It was a sacrifice for me, but it was a sacrifice just getting married later in life. That was more on that than this particular situation. And I just felt like it was such a gift to be able to be one of the parents raising him, and to be given that gift at my age when I thought, I don't know if I'll ever get married. And so there were a lot of things around it that made it a very joyful occasion for me. But as I always say, the pictures from your wedding, you know, everyone's just like, wow, look
you
at
have
this
the
cute
best
family.
Pictures.
And we do. No question about it. He was absolutely the cutest kid you've ever seen in your life. He still is to me. Just beautiful child, but a man, beautiful man. But, and he comes from good genes. That's part of it. You know, I mean, he just does, but he was such a beautiful child. But I think I've even looked sometimes at blended families coming together and everyone's like, oh my gosh, look at them all. They all have their arms around each other. They're all standing together. The couple looks beautiful. They're in love with each other. They're going to be such a help to these kids. And wow. And then everyone leaves and you live your life. And the life you live from the wedding day forward is very different from the wedding. You have a lot to navigate. And I, you know, for me, it was like, oh my gosh, waking up after my honeymoon and it was our turn. Cause at the beginning we lived in the same place, same city for the first year, and it was our turn. And I remember literally like walking down the hall, just kind of in a dreamy state. And all of a sudden I saw this child. Like, oh my gosh, hi, you're still here. You know, and I was like, I'm supposed to take you to school. And I did not, I mean, it was such a learning curve for me that was part of it. But then the joy of being able to volunteer in his classroom, to be able to teach him to read, to be able to, you know, just Jerry and I, we always called each other, our family, the sandwich. We made it very clear that Jordan, it was easier for us because we had one. And I know it's very much more challenging when you've got lots of different dynamics and different kids and your situation. But we wanted to be sure that he felt, because he was six, you know, that he was going to be included in everything. He was not being left out by us coming together. We were always going to be a unit, and that I had pledged my life to him as much as Jerry. And I do think if you asked him that question, he would know that that's what I did. That was something that I just felt very strongly about. And so he'd always be in the middle if we were ever sitting anywhere, or just little things like that that signal to a child their place in your home when they're there. And again, when they're older, it's harder. But I think it's just something to keep in mind, that insecurity that they feel is there no matter how old they are. Like, who am I in this place? And certainly as a teenager, they're not going to tell you that. You just have to know that and then get advice from so many different. I mean, there's so many places that people can get advice now for step-parenting that weren't available even 20 years ago. And Julie, you know, Blended Life is one of those where people can listen to podcasts. You can hear stories from other step-parents. And I think that really helps you in the day-to-day that is being a step-parent. So
yeah. Thank you for sharing. Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. You are just like the gold star of step-moms.
No,
I'm like,
so not true.
I listen to you, and I'm like, there's like a light shining down. And
that's
I'm
because
being
you have
convicted
the light on
to, you know, of like everything.
No, that's you have a much harder situation.
I'm so grateful that you're here, though.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, you know. And again, I know when the more kids you have, the more complicated your situation is. But, you know, if I could say one last thing, it's hold on to each other. You know, you mentioned that you and Eric so many times have said, this is just not worth it. And I can only imagine there are so many couples that don't make it because of the stress of their situation. It has nothing to do with their relationship. It has to do with everything around their relationship. And one day it will just be the two of you. You will still have a relationship with your adult kids. But let me tell you, you know, I was just speaking at this conference, and I probably had five women come to the table and pick up this book and say, wow, could I have used this 20 years ago? Mm-hmm. But they're not in the same place now. You will not always be in this place. I tell Julie that on a daily basis. I'm not kidding. I really do. I because
like,
I got
to be different.
Yeah, but you don't feel like it's going to be.
Ever.
It never. Yeah. And so I just think that you have to continue to hear from people that tell you you will make it. But hold on to each other. Don't judge your marriage based on what's happening around your marriage. Keep the two of you together. Go on dates no matter what it takes, even if it's just a coffee down the street or in your home, in a room, whatever it is. You get that time together and you work on that relationship in the midst of everything, because that is going to be what keeps you in.
Yeah. I mean, thank you. All the wisdom. One more question.
Okay, sure.
So somebody purchases Grace-Filled Step-Parent. Well, first of all, I disclose that even if you're not a step-parent, but you're the bio parent in a blended family, you get this book if you work with me.
Yeah.
So can you speak to that for a second?
Sure.
Why would a bio parent be in their lives be enriched by reading Grace-Filled Step-Parenting if they're not a step-parent?
You know, I wrote the book with that in mind, I will tell you. It's really for the couple, the both sides of this equation. I think the bio parent is so important in the step parent's role, and they don't always see that going in. I don't know that you realize that you are going to have to be a support to the spouse that you've brought into the situation. And it's not your fault. It's not your responsibility to do it all, but it is a little bit on you to recognize we need to communicate. If nothing else, we need to communicate, and to not assume that you're just going to do things the way you've always done things and she or he better figure it out. And I think what this book does is really helps you see the challenge of the role of the step-parent and gives you empathy to go, gosh, I want to be aware of how we can work together on this. Because, you know, I think the first chapter, the second chapter is about the two of you and your relationship. So I think it's really important that the bio parent in a blended family reads the book along with the step parent. I think that would be ideal. So
I fully agree. Okay, last question. How can people connect with you, get a hold of you? If somebody wants you to speak, right?
Yeah.
They hear you and they're like, you must come speak at our church, at our blended family event. Give us all the ways to connect. Maybe talk about the books that you have written, because this is a one-off.
Yes.
I don't think people understand that too, especially in our community.
No,
this is a one-off.
I know.
So, how can people get a hold of you?
Yes. So on Instagram, I'm Lori P. Short, and that's L-E-U-R-I-E. And you can find me there and kind of some of the other things I'm doing. My website is lorishort.com. And I do a 10-minute podcast each week that is more of a devotional, inspirational podcast, just taking a story and kind of the insight we get from it. My last book that I just wrote is called Faith, Doubt, and God's Mysterious Timing. And maybe the timing issue is resonating with some people who are listening, but it certainly resonated with me and does with so many people. And I kind of what I do in that book is connect what's going on in your life with a story in the Bible where the person went through a very similar situation. And you might not have heard about that at church, depending on the church or non-church that you go to, but actually there are people that have lived these situations that have a lot of wisdom to give us. And so what I try to do is make that connection and then kind of talk about insights about life. And I've written a book called 40 Verses to Ignite Your Faith. I'm a big faith person, obviously. And then I wrote a book that I would say had the biggest influence on Grace-Filled Step-Parenting, which is called When Changing Nothing Changes Everything. Mm-hmm. And it's four lenses that kind of help you see your life differently. And that book really could be for a person of faith or not non-faith. You know, it's just more about your perspective. But and then I wrote a book called Finding Faith in the Dark, which is more about my journey of I went through a broken engagement prior to my marriage and just getting married late in life and kind of pick up on tragic situations and how to find God in the hard. That's a big theme in what I do. So you can communicate with me in any of those ways, but I love to speak. And now that I'm an empty nester officially, that's something that I'm doing. And you can find me on my website and communicate and let me know.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, what a blessing you are to the world. I'm so glad that you are brave and bold. And you don't hide.
Oh,
and you
thanks,
don't
Julie.
You don't stuff your testimony away. You actually help people. And I just think that's wonderful. So if you want to get a hold of me, you can reach out at Blended Life. You can find us on Instagram and all the socials. My life coaching for blended families, you can reach out to me at becomingheard.com or email me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com. And This is my heart. This is my passion and my calling. And I know Lori's a big part of why I'm even doing this and how I do this. So I just, again, my gratitude overfloweth to you for the work you did in paving the way. I mean, there aren't a lot of step parenting books out there. I think that you're paving the way for the rest of us. So Appreciate you. Love you. And thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Bye. Hey, it's Julie again. I hope this episode of Blended Life started a conversation that you will finish in your home. But I get it, right? Sometimes you need more. My offer still stands. If I can interest you in a free one-on-one breakthrough session with me to see if coaching is right for you, contact me now at becomingheardnow@gmail.com and let's get you unstuck. becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I look forward to it.